Dear Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth today. Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things out of your law. May you convict us, challenge us, comfort us. May you conform us to your image. May we be more like you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read two verses. Galatians 5 verse 22 says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." So these nine qualities make up the fruit of the Spirit. And against such there is no law. Let's break that down. We're going to kind of talk about that aspect for a few minutes this morning. All the flowers are coming out, but just a few months ago, we were in winter. We had some cold days, some days that you would look out. Everything was brown. Everything was kind of ugly, right, out there. Some beauty in that season, but not like spring, at least. And you look around, and you see many trees. They don't have leaves on them. The grass, you're not certain that that's alive. You can't tell if the trees are going to come back yet at this point. But then spring comes, and we begin looking around, and we see these little buds coming out. And to me, the first sign of spring, you have some daffodils, some small plants coming up, but the forsythia bush starts to bloom. You say, hey, right around the corner. And then we start seeing some other plants. The red bud begins to bloom. We see the pear trees and the dogwoods. And several different trees start coming out. We say, wow, it's springtime. All these plants are coming out. And we see the life of these plants. But the reality is, even in wintertime, those plants were alive. And I was just thinking about that aspect. And so I wrote down a couple thoughts. First, there has been life in those plants the entire time. Even though they look like they may be dead, there was growth going on inside of it. You couldn't see it immediately, but that growth was there. Life was within that plant. Those plants, if you would have taken them and scraped some of the bark off, you would even see the green, but you have to look inside, right? There was still life inside those plants the entire time. Secondly, change takes time. We want to see growth coming at all times, but the reality, the nutrition was just reserved for a certain time. Once the weather got a little bit warmer, there was a little longer sunlight, some changes coming about. You see, change takes time. There's different amounts of growth and different time periods of growth. I was looking the other day and I think it was last Sunday, and I didn't have any plants coming up. Monday afternoon, I looked, and I had some plants that had grown about 6 to 8 inches, and I was like, wow, they just popped up that quickly. You have some other plants that grow a little bit more slow. You have some trees in your yard. You think, is it ever going to take off? And then 20 years later, you know, it's 30 foot high. Trees grow at different levels. Plants grow at different levels, and they grow at different times. Different plants are blooming at different seasons. They don't all happen at the same time. The reality is we have some trees out here that we aren't going to see bloom until mid-June, something like that. When all the other spring plants have gone, the crepe myrtles we're going to see blooming. And they come at different seasons, different time periods. They don't all happen at once. So life has been there the entire time. Change takes time. Number three, growth happens naturally. None of us could force these plants to grow. It just happens naturally. You can't make it happen. It's part of creation. There's two verses I want to look at before we jump into Galatians here. But one is in Mark chapter 4. I have it on the screen behind me. And here's what it says. "For," and Jesus was talking here, "for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself." Think of that little term, of herself. "First the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn of the ear." The fruit comes of herself. That little phrase means in and of itself. Nothing needs to happen to that plant or that seed to make it grow. The complete DNA is within that plant as long as it has some moisture, as long as it has some nutrition, as long as it has the warmth of the sun. That plant is going to grow. It's going to grow in and of itself. You put that corn in the ground and it's just naturally going to come up. Reality, some people pray about it, some people don't pray about it, but those plants are going to come up. Some people will do a little bit more fertilization stuff, but that plant is going to come up in and of itself. It just grows. It happens naturally. Even we see it at the beginning of creation in Genesis 1, verse 11, and God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, and the seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. When God created the world, he put within every one of those plants that the seeds and the roots and everything that was going to continue those plants, that DNA was from the very beginning a foundation, and it continues to today because that's what naturally occurs. That's part of God's creation. That plant is going to take off. It's going to grow. And so my fourth thought is this: God wants us to create the best environment. So life has been there the entire time. Change takes time. Growth happens naturally, but God wants us to create the best environment. That's what he told Adam in Genesis 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. What was he saying? I want you to have a nice environment, and you can determine where you put these plants, how you place these plants, how ultimately how they're going to be mixed, and all the other plants are going to come from that. But I'm going to let you create that environment. As long as there is moisture, there is the right soil for nutrition, there's the sunlight to produce light and warmth, those environments are going to allow those plants to do everything that they need to do. Now, at that point in Genesis, there were no weeds, there were no pests, there were no insects, there weren't diseases upon the world. We do have that today, and so it has become more difficult. We have to deal with the right environment. Have you ever planted your garden, and if you don't take care of it properly, the weeds are going to pop up. You got some insects that are growing, they're going to take the fruit instead of you being able to get the fruit. They're going to kill the plants and all kind of different things that can happen. You got some diseases that can occur. Those environments can be a big deal. I know when I plant a garden and have these great hopes that we're going to have these delicious tomatoes and cucumbers and peppers and all these things, but life happens and get busy, maybe go on vacation or something, come back, and we have those plants, but all these weeds are growing around it, right? Have you ever had that happen? You're like, oh, man, you got to go in there and deal with those weeds and get rid of that, or maybe we got busy, didn't water it correctly or whatever, but the right environment is vital. I mean, it's necessary if we're going to have those things taken care of, and it's not just the fruit and vegetable gardens, it's our yards as well. If we don't take good care of it, we're going to deal with some problems, some issues. We're going to have dandelions growing. We're going to have all kind of crab grasses and all kind of other issues growing if we don't maintain it correctly. Isn't that right? Well, the same is true in the spiritual arena and all of life. I mean, life requires maintenance issues, doesn't it? I mean, if we look at our physical bodies, we say, you know what, I need to rest properly, I need to eat properly, I need to exercise properly, I need to deal with stresses properly in life. If I don't maintain those issues, our body's going to fail us. Isn't that correct? I mean, there's some disciplines we've got to have in life to be able to physically take care of ourselves. The same is true with finances. You know, maybe, probably most of us have put a budget together at some point. And, you know, a good budget is to put God first and give him the first fruits, then put your savings aside, and then live off the next 80%. We kind of know those things, but most of us don't maintain those things very well because we think, you know, wow, there's something I could do. I want to go on vacation. I want to go out to eat, or I want this newer clothes, newer car, or whatever the case might be. And we blow our budgets pretty quickly if we don't maintain them. Organization is the same way. Maybe you've started your spring cleaning and you've gotten rid of the old and you're kind of resetting things up. But if you don't have a good system, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get more clutter pretty quickly. You know, you work really hard in the weekend to do the laundry, and then a few days later you look and there's just piles of laundry to do again, right? It's just, you dust the house, sweep it, you look a few days later like, man, what happened again? There's just continual maintenance on your house, isn't it? Relationships require that as well. You know, there was a man that said one time to his wife, he said, when we got married, I said, I love you, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know, right? That's not a very good maintenance issue, not a very good discipline, really, right? I mean, a relationship requires constant work, regular attention and communication, often forgiveness in that relationship, updating things and schedules throughout life. You know, I remember when we had toddlers, and you think, wow, you got to put the shoes on the kid, you got a backpack you got to carry around, all these kind of things that you have, but the reality is they do learn to tie their shoes eventually. Now, most teens don't still, it doesn't appear to me at least, still have long, you know, they do know how to do that. They can get dressed. They do know how to take showers and baths at some age. You know, they're able to take care of themselves. And at each stage of development, things change. You know, they, oh man, this is such a difficult age. This toddler years are having babies, and it is a tough age. But then they get bigger, and you're driving them to soccer practice and, you know, sporting events, and their friends, all these kind of things coming up. And then they become teenagers, and they start driving, and then, you know, you got more payments or whatever. And one thing I've learned, I drove nicer cars when my kids were little than now. I mean, putting through college, I got the oldest cars I think I've ever had in my life, and I can't figure it out because they got nicer cars than I have. You know, it just doesn't seem right along the lines. But you go through these seasons, and then grandchildren come, and then, you know, kids getting married, all these different phases, and life just changes. And you've got to maintain things. You know, you get married and you say, okay, well, we brought these kids in the world. We've got to focus on the kids and we've got to work and we've got to do all these things. If you're not maintaining your marriage, one day the kids are going to be out the door and you're going to look at each other and you're going to say, who are you? Oh, yeah, we met each other about 30 years ago, right? And life just goes by. You've got to maintain and have date nights and have time together and make sure you slow down a little bit in life. You do that with your kids, the training, instruction, correcting, good examples, communicating, dealing with all those aspects. Church ministry is the same way. You know, if you're a ministry leader and you ask people to get involved in ministry and you kind of place them over there and you start doing the next thing, you know, and you don't encourage them, you don't communicate with them, you don't and you don't do those things. And that's why in this series I wanted to introduce you to Ministry Grid. Because Ministry Grid has helps not just for key leaders, but for every member of our church to grow, to learn more about discipleship, to learn about how you can do your ministries better, how you can stay encouraged, how we can reach the vision and fulfill the calling that God has for our church. And so in this three-week series, I've said, hey, go on Ministry Grid. In the bulletin, there's a place you can text, and you just text MG, and it's going to send you a link from a different number. You click on that, and it opens you up to some great discipleship material. And if you would like to go further, we're going to even have more material for you to help you move ahead. Life requires maintenance, doesn't it? We do that with the plants. We do that with relationships. We do that within the church. And as I was thinking about environment, has anyone here, and just think about it, don't raise your hands, ever been in a toxic environment? Maybe at work, you know, criticism, competitive nature, a lot of negativity and discouragement, independence not working together. It could be in a dating relationship or a home or whatever. You know, these toxic relationships. Environment is really key. It's very vital to our life. And if we have these kind of issues going on, we can't fully accomplish what God wants us to. One thing I've always said is that an environment of acceptance is necessary for us to grow to our fullest potential. And in our homes, if it's not a place of acceptance, that the people around us aren't going to grow to their full potential. In the church, if this is not a place of acceptance, people won't grow to their fullest potential. On the job, the community, a sports team, whatever. If we have to compete for this acceptance, where most of us aren't going to do very well in those kind of environments. This series we've been talking about as we understand who we are, our identity, and as we understand who we are as a community. It is then that we can become more like Him and who He is, Jesus, and that's conformity. Becoming more like Him. So let's look at this text for a few minutes. The book of Galatians was written, the Apostle Paul wrote it, to the believers at Galatia because there were a group of Jewish leaders that had come into these predominantly Gentile communities where people have become Christians, and they said, I'm glad you as a Gentile became a Christian. Now all you have to do is to become a Jew if you really want to be like God. So you have to follow all the Old Testament codes and rites, ceremonies and rituals. If you do all those things, then we'll accept you and you'll be okay. So all you have to do is fulfill all the Old Testament law. And Paul goes on in this letter, says to these Jewish people, you couldn't even fulfill those laws. I don't know why you're asking the Gentiles to. They weren't intended for you to really be able to fulfill those laws. They were intended for you to realize you couldn't follow all those laws, those ceremonies, those codes, all those separation issues that went on. You can't follow the law. So Paul was writing to these guys. They were called Judaizers. Or to the Christians about the Judaizers, and said, that isn't how Christianity works. The law isn't going to make you holy. The law isn't going to make you more like Jesus. And if you just focus on a bunch of rules, have you ever done that in your home? Just say everything's a rule, you know, and it's not about relationship. A lot of discouragement happens in those homes. And so Paul wrote the book of Galatians to say, it's not about these rules, it's not about these laws, but it is about a relationship with your Heavenly Father. And just as in the plant world, that you look at this tree and it may not look alive, but over time, it's going to produce fruit. It's going to do it naturally. We just have to have the right kind of environment around. And the same is true in the spiritual arena. God wants us to set the right kind of environment around so something very special can happen, so fruit can come forth. And so after five chapters of Paul talking about all these issues, he comes to verse 22 and he says this, but we've gone through all these things about what the law can do, but now I want you to understand something real important. The fruit of the Spirit. You see, what I want you to live out is not how well you do a sacrifice or you have a ceremony or whether you're obeying the Sabbath. It's not about all these laws and these codes. It's not about the clothes that you wear. It's not about your pious actions. It's not about what everybody else thinks about you. But it really is about the fruit that you produce in your everyday life. These fruit here, these qualities here that I want you to live out, they're on the inside, and now I want you to bring it to the outside. I want these qualities to come on the outside because they're already on the inside. Don't bring them on the outside so they'll one day end up on the inside. But I want you to understand that if you're a Christian, if the Holy Spirit lives within you, this is what's going on within you. You just have to allow that right environment so this fruit can come out in your daily life. So a few verses earlier, he said this in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Have you ever tried to overcome a sin, and maybe even right now there's some habits or some ways of life or some occasional issues that come up in your life? Maybe nobody else knows about it, but you know. Maybe even while you were singing, God was speaking to your heart and said, hey, there's some issues in your life. There's some things going on within you that I really want to change. I want you to be different. That's what we're talking about, this lust of the flesh. See, the desires that are within us, because we all have that sin nature. And God said, here's how to deal with it. Not by your discipline, even though our series is called Disciplines of a Disciple, it's not about how good you are, but it's about the work that God wants to do within you when you are walking with Him. God wants us to walk with him on a daily basis, on a regular basis. He wants to have a relationship with you and I. He cares extremely about us, just like you care about the loved ones in your life, and you want to have a relationship. Right, you want to spend time with them. You want to talk to them. You want to communicate to them and listen to them and share your thoughts and your world with them as well. That's what God wants. He wants to walk with us, just like God did with Adam and Enoch and people throughout the scriptures. God walked with them. God spent time with them. And that's what God wants. He said, I want you to walk in the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is living within us, every place we go, God is there. It's not that we just come here to church and God's here, but God is wherever we go. He's living within us. And think of the name for just a second, the Holy Spirit. Just by his name, we learn two things. One, that he's a spirit, that he's invisible. You don't see the Holy Spirit. And the second is this, is that he's holy. And if a holy God is living within us, guess what he wants to produce in our everyday life? Guess what the fruit is he wants to come out? Holiness. The way we live, the way we treat one another, the way we respond to the initiatives of God. Walk in the Spirit. And then two verses later it says this, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. See, the Holy Spirit wants to lead us. He wants to guide us about the relationships that we have. He wants to determine our future careers. He wants to determine where we go to college, the classes that we take, the actions that we have on Friday night or Saturday night or Sunday morning. He wants to be involved in those issues. He wants to be involved in the way we relate to the boss or a coworker on Monday, the way we work throughout the day, the way we drive on 95 or wherever we go. He wants to be in charge. He wants to be our leader. And so he's working within us if we're Christians. He's living within us. And that fruit is to be coming out in our daily life. With that right environment, this fruit will come. How many like to go strawberry picking, shortly? I think it's going to be coming up pretty soon, right? Somebody's put all these rows, right? Row after row after row. And if I understand it correctly, you pay for, what you put in the bucket. So if you eat them, you don't have to pay for them. If I understand, you eat two, you put one in the bucket. I don't know if it's stealing or not, but I just thought that's the way I see other people doing it, at least, I guess. But, so they have all these strawberries that are there. Or in the not too distant future, maybe you picked up a plant at Lowe's and you planted it and you're going to have some tomatoes coming out and you slice it and make a, how many eat tomato sandwiches? All right, a lot more than I expected. And then my dad would say, what are you having for dinner? I'm just going to have a tomato sandwich. But what are we going to eat for dinner? Oh, maybe some beans or something. I said, okay, I'll go out to McDonald's or something, growing up. That's kind of country food, I think. But, you go out and pick this nice tomato, you're going to be able to have that. Or the fall comes. And you know what happens? If you have the right environment in certain areas, these apple trees, thank God for Johnny Appleseed, right? He threw all these seeds out there. And now you have these apple trees and you go apple picking in the fall. How did it get there? It just naturally happened, right? Now they created an environment, but all of this fruit just shows up because that's what within it. I don't know much about trees. I would walk with my dad at different places, and he would say, well, look at this bark. It's this kind of tree and this and that. I don't know that much about them. Well, this leaf, is a maple. This one is an oak or whatever. But I do know if I go up to a tree and it has an apple on it, I know it's an apple tree. I've been able to figure out those kind of things. And Jesus said it this way. You will know them by what? Their fruit. And guess what God wants us to have in our life? The fruit of the Spirit, let's just look at the first three. Love, joy, and peace. I'm not going to break them down, but as I read that years ago, I thought, what are people looking for in life? People are looking for someone to love them, aren't they? We all want to be loved. We want to love and be loved. It's a wonderful thing to know that there are people that love us. What are people looking for? People want to be happy, don't they? You want your kids to be happy. You want your spouse to be happy. You want to be happy. We want to be happy in life. We want to have joy. And what else? People don't want their life filled with turmoil. Yeah, they don't want to have a bunch of issues, a bunch of nonsense going. They just want to live and let live. We just want to have peace. And you know what the world is looking for? They're looking for the exact same thing that God wants to develop in every one of our lives as we're walking with Him, as we're being led by Him, instead of letting the flesh lead us, instead of saying, okay, it's a religious code that we have to follow. It's God that's doing this work within us as we rest in Him, as we ask for His guidance, His direction in our life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. When we have this right atmosphere in our daily life. Now look at verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. You know what God says I want you to do? To create the right atmosphere, you can't live for yourself. I know it's all on the news. It's what the you turn on the afternoon talk show and just, well, I've realized I just have to love myself. Oh, that's so beautiful. Yeah, you got to love yourself before you can love anybody. You just have to fill yourself up with yourself before you can care for anybody. Oh, that's so beautiful. You know, I'm going to send that as a tweet today. It's so beautiful. But you know what? God says something kind of opposite. You got to stop being so selfish because we are our biggest enemy. We deceive ourselves. What did he say to do? We crucify our flesh, the affections and lust. Now, can we have good qualities? Certainly. Can we have good affections? But only as we ask the Holy Spirit for God, for guidance in our life. When we let Him sanctify our heart, our thoughts, our actions, the habits, the way we communicate, then His beauty can come out. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, the reality, I had my message together, laid this out, finished it yesterday evening, and I got to thinking, all right, I think, Tim, you put together a decent message. I mean, that's sort of my thought, okay? And my next thought was, did I do any of this today? I mean, that was my second thought. And I was like, I had such a crazy busy week. I was behind in some things, just catching up and just, you know, just getting ready for Easter, all these kind of events and activities. And I looked and I was like, you know, if I were to rate myself, I don't think I'd give myself a passing grade. I was so busy doing the things that, you know, I had on my to-do list for the week. I don't know how much I really asked God for His direction. I knew where I was going. I knew what I had planned in life. And so I talked to my family for a few minutes. They were sitting around it after dinner, and I just said, hey, how much did you ask the Holy Spirit, or how did the Holy Spirit influence your life today? And we kind of talked about that for a few minutes as well. So now that I've confessed mine, we're going to stand up here and you can confess your sins. No, we won't do that, but I want you just to think about it as we conclude and move to a baptismal service in just a second. How much are you relying on the Holy Spirit? Just offering yourself to Him. That's what I try to do on a daily basis. I didn't do such a good job. Just say, here I am, God. I'm available to You, and ask for His leadership. His leadership in your attitude. His leadership in the way you communicate with your family, the way you deal with problems at work. Whatever it may be. Walk in the Spirit. Be led of the Spirit. Allow Him to be our guide. And it happens as we say, I'm not going to listen to myself, my own desires. I'm going to let Him be my guide. Which is exactly what baptism stands for. I'm going to read you two verses from the book of Romans chapter 6. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Do you know what baptism pictures? The death of Jesus. At this season, we were talking about what day to do baptism right now, and I talked with some people, and I said, what better day could you think of to get baptized than Palm Sunday? The week where we think about the death of Jesus. The next verse says this: therefore, we are buried with him in baptism. Immersion, as we stand in the water, picturing the death of Jesus, and being immersed in the water, picturing the burial of Jesus. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead. Just to let you know, if you're getting baptized today, you do come back up out of the water. Okay, that's a good thing. I heard that one guy got his things confused, his sacraments confused one time, and he was baptizing somebody, and he said, "And drink ye all of it." You know, so we won't do that in this service or anything. You know, but we get raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Why? Because we are demonstrating that we are walking in a new life. This new life. The life where we follow after God. We're demonstrating to the people around us, I believe Jesus died for me, he was buried, and he rose again. That's the only way I could get to heaven. It's not by going to a Baptist church. It's not by getting baptized. It's not by any of the good things that we can do, being a good dad, a good mom, a good parent, or whatever the case would be. But it's trusting in what Jesus did when he died on the cross. For just a moment, let's bow our head. So I just have a couple simple questions for you. Has there been that point in your life that you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'm not asking, do you believe in God? I'm not asking, has there been a point in your life that you have prayed or talked to God or even been sorry for your sins? But by faith, has there been that time where you ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins because of what he did on the cross? I did that as a teenager. I knew Jesus loved me, but I wanted to make sure that I had called upon his name and asked him to forgive my sins. Friend, make that decision in your life today. Or baptism, we have several people getting baptized today. Has there been that time in your life that you follow the Lord in baptism? If not, as you watch the baptisms today, just think about, if I know I'm a Christian, what would hinder me to be baptized? Or joining a church, or coming to Wednesday Bible study, texting the MG to be able to receive the ministry grid and going through some personal discipleship so we can be conformed to the image of Christ, that we can be transformed and become more like him. That the disciplines of prayer and Bible study and worship and our witnessing and serving would allow us to become more like Jesus. You know, the reality is, just like plants, sometimes you look at them during the dark days, you don't see a lot of fruit, but it's in there. And over a period of time, God wants to restore that. Maybe today in your life, you've gone through a dark season. You've dealt with some bitterness, some discouragement. But friend, if the Holy Spirit lives within you, he wants you to be holy. Allow him today to be your guide. So let's just stand with our heads bowed for a minute. And you just respond to God. Maybe you just need to say something as simple as, Holy Spirit, I ask for your leadership today. There's something that you need to confess, get cleaned up. Or you want to pray for someone. Dear God, use us today as our Heavenly Father. May we be more like you. May we be conformed to the image of your Son. As we walk in your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.